Yo, Bathong, why it's going through it? Going through it over here. Fighting with my technical team, aka me, aka the mic. What the hell, man? What the hell, man? Yo, Bathong, guys, ready? I'll never record because I'm fighting for my life. Fighting for my life. Okay, anyway. Whew. Now that everything is working again. Shall we do this? Okay. Hi there. Welcome to the Potential Podcast with Tracy Lee. This is episode 23. Actually, no, it might be 24 if you count the trailer. I think I did the math wrong on the last one. I think it might be, it's 24 if you count the trailer, 23 if you don't. But actually, episode 23 on all major platforms because I'm tired of trying to do that math properly. I'm going to keep doing it because it's tradition, but it's also weird. Anyway, so let's get into it. Okay. So in my last episode, I promised that I would do, audio essays, I guess. These aren't really going to be essays necessarily. I think it's just going to be me talking about something that interests me. I actually, in one of my throwaway episodes, had recorded an episode about, arranged marriage, right? And what had happened was the reason, like, it had sparked my interest is I'd finished watching a TV show. I think it was one of my various K-dramas that I'm a fan of. And, ooh, do I love an arranged marriage trope, kids. Ooh, do I love an arranged marriage trope. There's something just so pure and beautiful about it. And I'm sorry, like, I know, obviously, I'm speaking as a person who hasn't experienced this, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I just like it, you know? And I was like, why not talk about it, brother? You know, share with the people about this thing that is interesting to you. So I decided, you know what, let's do a bit of research. Okay, ChatGPT helped a lot. But, you know, do a little bit of research on specific things that I want to talk about and, you know, just kind of dig into it. So, yeah, this is going to be a little bit more structured, but as I go through the points, because there are some things, the reason I used help, well, I was helped by Mr. ChatGPT is because of the fact that I was like, I need to fetch mass amounts of information from different corners. And what is AI for? So I was like, fetch me the facts. I'll provide the spice. I'm the sauce. I'm the special sauce on the facts. So shame, ChatGPT did such a pretty little outline for me. It's so nice to have an assistant, guys. You know what? AI, hey, as much as we're all doubtful about it, ooh, it's helpful. Oh, it's helpful. Anyway, so shame. She even wrote me a little, I don't know if I want to call ChatGPT a boy or a girl. Let's make her a girl. So she even wrote me a little outline. She was like, do a little introduction, girl. Do something that's like a hook. And I was like, yeah, arranged marriage. What up with it? That's the hook. ChatGPT did not write that. But yeah, I'm just like, look, I'm very happy to use technology to organize my thoughts because let's be serious. Otherwise, it's pure chaos. We've all experienced it. You were there. You've been there. You've been hearing it. So anyway, so the reason I actually chose this, as I said, I gave a little bit of context earlier, is because the whole concept has always fascinated me. I've always thought to myself, granted, I mean, it's easier said than done, but I've always thought that, hey, yo, dude, like, I could do this. You know what I mean? Like, I could legit be in an arranged marriage. Like, makes complete sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, just get all the other nonsense out the way and just, like, get it done, you know, start a family, like, you know, like, start a family, and not, like, just start a family in terms of having babies, but, like, you know, like, get all of the nonsense that stops you from getting to what I call the goal. I say me, personally, this girl, the one holding the mic, you know, and I'm not, like, God, marriage isn't a goal, like, that's fuck to say. Also, it sounds super anti-feminist, I guess. I'm not that I'm really a feminist like that, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. But, like, I've always been, like, you know what, this feels simple, and it gets the job done, and we're not going through a lot of nonsense to get here, because it starts at so much of the work has already been done by somebody. You know what I mean? Like people who know you the best. Well, in the case of things like Married at First Sight, the experts. Also, I think this episode is actually quite relevant for the current times because... So I gave up social media like a dummy and I didn't realize that my social media keeps me up to date with what's going on in the world. I didn't realize that South Africa had a whole entire Married at First Sight. They're attempting it again. So I just want to also give background. I am a Married at First Sight stan. I was there when they first started making the show, when it was on DSTV and we had to watch it on TV. Like I was there, my brother. I was in it like a bonnet. You know what I'm saying? I was there. And I loved the concept and I loved watching it. It was one of my best reality TV shows. And then I stopped watching it as the years went on just simply because I got way too invested. I do have a problem about getting way too invested. Anyway, so I stopped watching it because I got way too invested. Not that the show stopped being good. It's just I was like, mm. Also, the thing about a reality show as well is like the first couple seasons, it's really about love and beautiful things and great stuff. Obvious, I mean, big air quotes on what I'm saying, yeah. But then eventually it just becomes like, I need to go on this show so that I can, you know, grow my social media following and be on TV, you know, and then it's just, it stops being cute. That's what happened with Love is Blind. That's why they took it to the UK. Because, and even that went terribly. Because that was a mess also. Yo, that one. Yo, I struggled, guys, to finish that show. I struggled. Like, all my friends were like, just finish it. I was like, okay. Because I'm like, magic. Maybe there's a magic rabbit at the end of this show that's going to make it worth it. Because I tapped out just before the weddings. I was just like, this ain't gonna work out. I can tell it's not gonna work out. I can already see what's going on here. He's not going to work. But okay. Okay. So I finished it. Did we not end up exactly where I thought we would end up? Even the magic couple. You know how they always magicanize one couple. Even the magic couple failed. Even the favorite didn't favorite. The couples, the one couple of color, not worked out. And then it was, jeez, guys, it was a mess. Anyway, that show made me, it gave me anxiety early. But I watched it because I was like, yeah, supporting it. Also, I just want to talk about the fact that straight up Netflix race baited me because when they first posted about it, at least on my Instagram, they like were pushing like the strong black lead posts where they're showing all of these beautiful brown and black faces, and I was like, yes, the black people, black love, let's do this. Tell me, other than Nicole, who also was teka teka ring there in the middle, other than her, where the blacks, other than being side characters, Anyway, I don't want to take away from the people of color who were on the show. I mean, they were great. It's just, they weren't black. I said it. Anyway, sorry. Yo, wow. Yeah, so that's background. I didn't listen to what ChatGPT said I was doing. I'm just freestyling, baby. Anyway, so it's my favorite trope. And mostly just because of the fact that I do believe that love can come after all of the nonsense. Especially because I genuinely as an individual feel that a lot of, and these are just views, guys, like this is just me speaking from the point of view of what I've observed through my just over 30 years of life. It's just, you know, like I've just watched married people and stuff like that. And I sit there and I'm just like, and also just relationships. And I'm like, actually not really necessarily married people per se, but I feel like a lot of the relationships that are working up to marriage and like, you know, trying to get to that space. And I sit there and I'm like, all the nonsense that gets in your way, mostly just because people want to stay in the love bubble a little longer and not like deal with the, like the tough stuff. And I feel like an arranged marriage sorts that out for you. There's someone else who can have this whole conversation for you. They can evaluate this person's financial capabilities, both sides. They can evaluate, like, you know what I'm saying? Like all the stuff that you don't want to talk about because it breaks, like it pops the love bubble. Someone else can have the hard conversations and like report back and leave you in like the love bubble. If, well, technically a lot of the time you don't even really get a love bubble because, you know, you're technically, you're not, you know, meeting each other. But actually, arranged marriage isn't necessarily that you ever met each other. It's it's a lot of, but a lot of the time, sometimes it's, you know, people meet for the first time. Actually, you know what? This is what I made ChatGPT research for. Let's jump into it. Okay. I gave him a little introduction. That's what we're doing. That's what's going on. Cool. So a little context and background, because we can't, come on, structure. So originally, arranged marriages are deeply historical and they're from various cultures. They were quite a norm in very many societies, especially in the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. So most places, actually. Actually, ironically, not the Global West. But it happened there as well. But anyway, we're here. But yeah, they put Europe in there. Historically, these marriages were often more about alliances between families than about individual romantic love. In ancient societies, marriage was seen as a way to maintain social order, secure wealth, preserve family status. And as a result, families had a strong say in the selection of partners. Right? How interesting. So now I asked the chatty, because she was going all about other things. And I was like, no. Tell me what's going on in the African context. So I'm going to just read you a little bit of what chatty found for me. In Africa, arranged marriages have long been part of various cultural traditions. Many African societies view marriage not just as a union between two individuals, but a bond between two families, clans, or entire communities. This communal focus often necessitates family involvement in the matchmaking process. And then they give us a couple examples of the specific regions. So in East and West Africa, traditional societies, marriages were arranged by families with the aim of strengthening between clans and tribes. For example, the Maasai communities of Kenya and Tanzania, parents would traditionally choose partners for their children based on familial alliances, social status, and practical considerations like dowry, so bride price. In Nigeria, especially among the Hausa Fulani in the north, arranged marriage still holds importance. Oh, come on, Martin. Cool. The process often involves elders and family members ensuring compatibility between families, considering social class, religion, and family reputation. Okay. So in other parts of Africa, obviously, me being a South African, there is actually a point about South Africa here. It is. I mean, the standard thing that I am noticing from just all of the research is, it is standard about, like, we evaluate all of the bits. And it really, it does come to things like, okay, familial alliances, because obviously two families are better than one. If, you know, we want this family to be part of our family, you know, like, we all evaluate the stuff that's going to get in our way down the line. Because I find that a lot of the time, the big hurdle that people go through is the fact that their families don't like each other. Like, two people are enough, but the families have to make it work, you know? And I don't know if it's that I share the view that I'm not just marrying you, I'm marrying your family. Actually, no, I do. I do share that view, actually. I just decided right now. Because at the end of the day, you're marrying into a family. And obviously, in a more love culture space, people can be very individualistic. It's about us. It's about our relationship. And it is. But at the end of the day, that's what marriage is. It's a joining of two families. Like, it's the reason a wife traditionally would take, you know, the surname of her husband. She becomes part of his clan, his family. The interesting thing that is coming up here is the social classes. Like, that's quite interesting for me, because I'm like, probably one of the things that probably necessitated love marriages, this isn't just me freestyling and adding my own spice here, guys, but that probably started a little bit of the love marriage moment, is other than the fact that people just wanted their own freedom because humans don't like to be controlled. But it was probably the fact that the marriage between social classes became like a thing, you know what I mean? And like, you need to let me decide who I love vibes. So that is quite interesting. And then also bride price and dowry, which leads us to the South African fact, which is among Zulu and Xhosa in South Africa, lobola, bride price, is negotiated between families. While arranged marriages were historically common, the process has modernized and today couples are often consulted in the decision making. Okay, now that one, yes, but I think it's weird. I feel like personally, from what I've experienced and seen, it's giving that a lot of families are starting to kind of take back that power. You know what I mean? Like in the case of, you need to say to the people, hey, I want to marry this girl. And then, you know, the chat is had. The interesting thing about, I think it's in India. Is it India? Yeah. Or in Asia. The interesting thing is the dowry goes the other way, where the girl's family actually has to save to like pay a dowry for the male she's gonna marry. And the reason it goes the opposite direction there is because it's actually for the same reason, now that I think about it. Dowry across the board actually is for the same reason. It's the family saying, hey yo, we spent all this money, invested time, blah, 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 to make this amazing person that you guys want to invite into your family. Please, you know, I guess, I don't want to say pay us back, but it's giving pay us back. And I've watched a couple things where it was, and it's, I mean, it's TV shows. Look, guys, like, I've watched a couple, like, documentaries and stuff, but I don't know any, I don't know a lot in terms of, like, being an expert. But from what I gather, it's when it comes to dowry for a male, it's because technically this guy is now no longer able to, like, his whole, I guess, money-making potential is now going to also include another family. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that, like, he's taking care of a wife, but he's also going to have kids, which means that his money or, like, his salary or whatever it is, isn't going to go straight to his family. You get? So it's a thing where you're like, hey guys, you lost a boy who can go out and make money for your family. So, you know, we want that boy because he's going to be the boy that goes out and makes money for our family. You know, I think that's what the story is there. And then the opposite way, in the case of Lobola, the one I'm a little bit more familiar with, it's we raised this girl. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's going to give you many, many heirs. Please contribute to our household for raising her and reward us for making this wonderful wife you are about to take in, type vibe. So that's interesting. Cool. So, yeah, as I mentioned, I mean, the big things that are important about why arranged marriages were such a thing is, yeah, preservation of cultural and family traditions. So the desire to maintain and elevate social status, because I feel like that carries across the board. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, we didn't talk about European because I didn't feel like talking about European. So I didn't ask for that information. But it really, I mean, you see it a lot in, like, Jane Austen novels and, like, a lot of just older TV shows, like period pieces, where it's marriage is an alliance. It is a contract. It is about the families. It is not about the people getting married. Obviously, it is, but, like, it's not type of vibe. So, especially with the whole, like, elevation of social status. So, it's kind of a thing where, like, when two families, you know, get together, their social status is upped because now they're two strong families or whatever it is, or like two not so strong families, but together they're a strong family. It's not like that. So that's actually quite interesting. I'm killed with the fact that it's a whole like it's a whole business deal. You know what I mean? The interesting, most interesting thing is the fact that I got into this because of a completely different modern take on it. You know what I mean? Because like I said, I'm really interested in like the arranged marriage trope. I love me a married at first sight. I love a love is blind. Granted, love is blind, technically, it's like they talk and get to know each other. So it doesn't actually technically count as being married first sight or being arranged, technically. Because you talk to a bunch of people and then eventually you marry the person. So love is blind doesn't count, actually. Let's scratch it from the record. But like, you know, a married at first sight, which is a different take on the things. But yeah, and I've seen it in like TV shows and stuff where it's, you know, the family has chosen and all of that stuff. I think what I like, and I'm just going to be interweaving my, like, what I like as I go through this, because obviously I have a very airy fairy fancy version of what I think of arranged marriage. And that's what you came here for. You could read this on the internet or ask ChatGPT yourself. So that's what you came here for. But the interesting thing I loved about the trope is it feels like, and from how it plays out in the stories, of course, that it allows, weirdly enough, it allows space for love to grow in a very true and organic and safe environment. I actually mentioned that I had recorded a version of this episode before, but I wanted to record one with a little bit more research because I was like, there's so many things I'm forgetting to say because I'm talking so fast, you know? So here I am actually just kind of circling back. But like, yes, like I just mentioned it, but it's that it felt like, you know, watching these spaces, it was like a lot of the stuff that, and I spoke about the love bubble earlier, is it's like, it's kind of like you have the opportunity to build a love bubble that isn't actually a bubble. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of like an actual love house. Because all of the stuff that generally leads to divorce based on just the stats and whatever it is, you know, like, money, I don't necessarily think that sex is sorted out in the arrangement process, but like, yeah, generally people say divorce is based off of money and sex. But I know that like money is a big thing that's already considered and talked about. Also, you would hope that people who arrange your marriage are people who know you well and aren't just in it for themselves, in the case of what I just read in terms of like the historical elements where it was about families who wanted to elevate their social status and they didn't give a flying about you. But you would hope that the people who arrange this for you are people who are aware of who you are and how you roll and what type of person you are, because kind of like, yeah, in the married at first sight thing, where like it's the experts who just know you as a person and think you would do well with this person, you know? So, yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about the different types of arranged marriage. Yeah, I'm just going to interlace this with facts, brother. I'm just going to interlace this with facts. Okay. So there's fully arranged marriages. So in traditional arranged marriages, couples, the couple has little to no input in choosing their partner. Families often involving parents or elders make the match, considering factors such as social status, wealth, education, religion, even astrology in some cultures. Historically, this form of arranged marriage was more common in deeply hierarchical societies where family honor and continuation of family traditions were prioritized. In Africa, fully arranged marriages were common in the rural areas or among tribes that follow stricter traditions. For example, many traditional Maasai marriages were arranged by elders with no input from the couple. So fully arranged marriages is exactly that. You have very little input. Yes. We decide. You get married. Go be happy. Type vibe. And yeah, obviously we spoke about it, all of the stuff that people are discussing, like social status, wealth, education, religion. Like, oh, the astrology thing is actually something I learned watching a K-drama, interestingly enough, because it's always funny because they make more of a joke about it than they really talk about it as like a thing. But it's always a thing where like a girl's mother or a boy's mother, actually, depending on which one of them is like more desperate for this person to get married. And they ask, what's this? When was this girl born? Like, what's her date and time of being born? And like they go and do like a full on astrological like matching thing to figure out if your birth dates align and like if this is going to work type vibe. So it's very astrological and stuff like that. Okay, so the next type is semi-arranged or assisted marriages. Ooh, come on, assisted. In semi-arranged marriages, families play a role in introducing potential partners, but the individuals have more autonomy in deciding whether or not to proceed. This is the most common form of arranged marriage today, as it balances traditional family involvement with modern values of personal choice. Ooh, okay. In modern Africa, in modern African contexts, especially among urban and educated populations, arranged marriages have evolved into a more collaborative process. The family may suggest potential partners, but the final decision is left with the individual involved. An example has been seen in modern India or the African diasporic. Why does ChatGPT make you sound smart? Diasporic. Diaspora. Yes, quite. Anyway, sorry. Diasporic communities where families use matchmaking services, family networks, or online platforms to assist in finding a match. The individual can meet and get to know the individuals can meet and get to know each other before making a decision, combining traditional practices with modern sensibilities. Now, this guy is what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're working together here. Because, yeah, they're going to talk about it later in the research. Yes, I read the research before time. I didn't just say ChatGPT. I read it. I checked it. But, yes, one of the things that... So, I used to be super into Bollywood. Like, something about me and Asian cultures, apparently. It's like a thing. Like, all my interests are in Asia. Anyway, I used to be super into Bollywood. And... the thing I loved was like watching like this exact trope, actually. I feel like I've loved this trope forever, but yeah. And watching like how it all came together. That's where I learned about Shadi.com, which is exactly that. Also, Indian matchmaker is the same kind of concept. This is her bag. This is her steez. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know what these things are, go look. It's quite interesting. Okay. The last one. Forced marriage.
Ooh.
Okay. It's important to differentiate between arranged marriage and forced marriage. In a forced marriage, one or both parties are coerced into a union without their consent. While this can happen in any culture, it is widely condemned as a violation of human rights.
Duh. I mean, duh.
You know what I mean? But come on, why are you forcing people? Anyway, in Africa, there have been instances where arranged marriages overlap with forced marriages, particularly in the areas where child marriages are prevalent. These practices are often driven by poverty or cultural norms, as they are increasingly challenged by local activists and international organizations advocating for the rights of women and children. So very clearly, this is not the trope that is cute and fun and what I watch on the TV shows and what I enjoy watching and stuff like that, or the content I enjoy to consume as a trope. This is a little bit more of the serious side of it's not arranged, because forced marriage is exactly that. It has its own name. It's forced upon somebody. And yeah, that's not the one. That's not the vibes. That's not the one we're talking about. That's where it really goes left. And I think what people like, I think this is the reason, I guess, the human rights issues and all the rest of it has popped up, and why it gets so fuzzy between forced and arranged marriage, is the fact that, like, obviously in the case of like assisted marriage or like arranged marriage, it's okay, cool, you know, we're still like, we still want your best. In the case of forced marriage, it's more, we want our best and you just happen to be here. But obviously in the olden days, it might as well have been forced marriage based on what these facts are saying. And that's what I'm reading. But you know, cool. So, it goes further to actually do a little bit of a comparison between love marriages and arranged marriages. So let's go into love marriages. In contrast to arranged marriages, love marriages are primarily based on personal choice and romantic attraction. The individuals choose their partners based on emotional and personal compatibility, often without family involvement. Love marriages are common in Western societies, but are also increasingly accepted in cultures that are traditionally favored arranged marriages, including parts of Africa, India, and the Middle East. In urban areas of Africa, especially among the younger generations, love marriages are becoming more prevalent as traditional customs slowly give way to modern individualistic ideas. This shift is influenced by globalization, increased education, and urbanization, where individuals prioritize personal happiness and emotional connection over family alliances. Now, there's parts of this that I'm like, yes, all day, every day. I do think legit, like, there's pros and cons to both, and it is really just an opinion thing. From my perspective, I think that, like, yeah, there's pros and cons to both. Like, nothing is perfect in this life. I just want to say, we've all realized this is the reason I'm doing this episode, is I am team arranged. Granted, I'm sitting here as a single hand, so I'm also like, I don't know if my team is benefiting me, but we're here. But legit, like, until obviously maybe my life experience convinces me otherwise, I feel like the benefits are just out there, bruh. Like, the statistics, my brother, like, it's giving. But like I said, I think statistically those marriages last longer and all of that stuff. But granted, that also, you know, comes with a whole other bag of fish, like people who are big as Ella Ring, people who are just holding on because this thing is important, not just to us, but it's to our family. So you ask yourself if that level of responsibility is either hurting or helping the relationship. Actually, as I'm going through this episode, I'm actually starting to unpack these thoughts for myself. I guess that's the point of these things, isn't it, darlings? Isn't it? You know? Question your views, babes. Question your views. Anyway, cool. So let's read a little bit about the tension between the two systems. Arranged marriages are often viewed as preserving the family unit and social norms, while love marriages are seen as allowing greater individual freedom and personal choice. In some cultures, there's an ongoing tension between older generations who favor traditional arranged marriages and younger generations who want more autonomy in choosing their partners. So, and I think this is exactly... Look at me segueing. I didn't even do that on purpose. I really didn't, but look at me, eh? But like, legit, this is exactly it, is the fact that that autonomy, guys, we've seen the streets. We've seen what's going on. Like, people are just like, I can't. We have a pandemic of loneliness. So I ask myself, if people can't make friends, how are people finding partners? Diggy diggy, heavy heavy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm curious. Like, I just, because I'm out here, lonely girling, sitting in a room, talking to a microphone, talking to herself, talking to a computer. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I don't actually think I'm lonely, if I'm honest. I'm not. But you know what I mean? Like, but loneliness does hit. It hits everybody. And it's a pandemic. It's a thing because of the advent of social media and all of that stuff. But also just, like, dating in these app online dating streets is tricky. Like, there are success stories, and I know a couple success stories, which has been, like, beautiful to watch and stuff, but, like, it's rough. It's scary out there. People are afraid, because at this point, I'm not just even risking it. Actually, one could argue, friends versus romantic relationships, which one do you get hurt more? Maybe that's a topic I should address at some point. But, like, you know, like, giving your heart in a romantic way, like, is scary, you know? So, like, I don't know. Maybe an arranged marriage might help you out, dog. Might sort you out. Because at least at that point, you guys both know you walked into this thing serious. There's no random weird talking stages where you have to ask about favorite colors. So one of my favorites was saying this to me. She's like, she doesn't have another talking stage in her. And I'm just like, babe. Yo. It's funny, so many people say that, and, like, what else can you do, you know? So what the hell is a talking stage? Also, but anyway, let me just leave my own things. But yeah, so I don't know if that autonomy, going based off of the fact that I just shared, I don't know if that autonomy is helping or hurting, guys. I don't know. This is why I'm throwing these thoughts out there, for us to discuss. Or not discuss, I don't know. Have a discourse amongst yourselves or yourself. I don't know. You know, I'm throwing these thoughts out there just so that we can have a chat. Cool. Another point is the cultural hybridity. Come on, words. In many African societies, a hybrid form of marriage is emerging. For example, couples may fall in love and decide to marry, but family approval is still sought and valued. This combines the individual choice of love marriage with a family involvement of an arranged marriage. Maybe cultural hybridity is the way. But then the question you have to ask is, at what point do you involve your family? Because I know people who involve their family very early on, where it's like, cool, like, I like this girl. We're going to start dating. After enough dates that I'm like, okay, this is actually going to be a thing. I introduced them to my family. While other people, introducing someone to your family is a big deal. Like, I better be ready to marry this person. You get? But I guess also in all of this, I also have to understand that I have a bias towards the fact that I'm like, if I am dating, I would like to date in a very serious manner. That, like, the hopes and dreams for this relationship would be that I am looking to figure out if you are my, like, my husband. You dig? So that's how I see it. But I mean, if you're just dating for vibes, then it is what it is. Actually, technically, you're listening to this episode and I'm like, cool, but I'm talking about marriage. So technically, the view makes sense for the episode. But, you know, hey, thanks for listening. Anyway, so yes, that hybridity thing, I'm interested to know and maybe talk about maybe in one of my other episodes. I don't know if I decide to research it more. If, like, at what point it becomes a, like, you know, a family involvement thing. Because I'm like, what if your family doesn't like her? Or doesn't like him? What then? What do you guys do? Do you break up with them? Because then that takes away from the individual thing. You get it? Like, it's, I don't know. That's just the thing. Anyway, cool. Let's talk about benefits of arranged marriage. Okay. So, benefits of arranged marriage. I've already kind of unpacked this, but let's do, like, you know, facts. Stronger family support. So families often provide emotional, social, financial support in arranged marriages. Cultural continuity. Arranged marriages help preserve cultural heritage and traditions. Makes sense, because generally a family isn't going to choose another family that they don't align in terms of traditions and values and stuff like that. And you would hope that they are thinking about those traditions and values of the person who's getting married. Like I said, in an ideal world, arranged marriages are with the actual person's interests as well in mind, not just the interests of the family. But, you know, lower divorce rates. In some cultures, arranged marriages have lower divorce rates due to societal and family pressures to maintain the relationship. I mean, when you put it like that, does it sound like a benefit, brother? Jeez. Anyway, I think ChatGPT is slightly biased, but we're here. I said it. Anyway, but yeah, because at the end of the day, these people did all this work to put you guys together. You better stay together, brother. But on the flip of that, I feel like it's not just the pressures, but it's also the support. Because at the end of the day, if I put you guys together, I'm ready for the kids you're going to have. You know, I'm ready to help. I'm ready to assist because I put you together. Like, what do I think was going to happen? You guys are going to have, like, you're going to get a house. You're going to have kids. You're going to, you know, start a whole family line. And I need to be able to not just support in words and arranging, but I need to be able to support the unit I have helped put together, you know? So you would think there would be a little bit more support from the arrangers, so to speak. You would hope. Anyway. Last one, pre-screening by family. Compatibility factors like education, social status, and values are considered. Oh, I mentioned those. Psh, I know things. Cool. Drawbacks of arranged marriage. Lack of personal agency. Arranged marriages can limit personal choice, particularly in strict traditional settings. Potential for coercion. Some individuals may feel pressured by family to marry against their will. Mm-hmm. Misaligned expectations. Partners may feel forced to conform to the family expectations rather than pursuing personal goals. And modern complications. Traditional arranged marriages may conflict with modern values such as individual autonomy and gender equality. So, yeah, these are all drawbacks. Because at the end of the day, these are things that are real. Like, if personal agency, if autonomy, if all of those things are important and paramount, then this is not the route to go, obviously. So, yeah. Next, we're going to talk about representations in media, which is the reason we're here in the first place. Come on. So in Western media often portrays arranged marriages as oppressive or outdated. Eastern media, Bollywood, and other Asian media sometimes glorify arranged marriages as successful, respectful unions. Balanced depictions. So some modern shows and films often show nuanced portrayals of marriage, such as The Big Sick, Indian Matchmaking, and Bride and Prejudice. So these are obviously fun TV shows and movies that kind of show exactly what's the plots and what's the stories. There's a couple others. I mean, there's K-dramas, there's Bollywood movies, aplenty, that portray different sides of the thing. I think there's actually another one that just came out I think it was 2 years ago. Ugh, what was that show called? Ugh, I forgot now. Was it a show? Yeah, it was a show. And it was a show about this chick who, is it her friend? No. I think she's a documentary maker. I must actually just Google it. She makes documentaries, whatever. And like, she falls for this guy who's literally going to go get married. And now she is literally making a documentary about his, like, the process of him getting married. And it's arranged and whatever, but like, he's down, he's cool with it. It's interesting. I feel like that would be an interesting movie show to watch. I don't know why I didn't watch it. Why didn't I? I don't know. Maybe I was busy. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, so I'll probably find the name and maybe put it in the comments if I remember. There's so much of this topic to still cover. I don't know. Anyway. Proceeding on. Modernization. Modern arranged marriages blend traditional and personal choice with couples dating before marriage. The role of technology, as I mentioned earlier, things like Shaadi.com have modernized the process. Case in point as well, Indian Matchmaking, where they have that lady that does the matchmaking for them. Also, actually, there's also matchmakers that isn't just the Indian matchmaking lady. There's also Jewish matchmaking. There's that nice lady. She matchmakes for people. There's also like matchmakers, like billionaire matchmakers. Like, I'm legit just saying that I feel that a little bit of the world is peeping into, maybe I should ask someone to help me find my partner for me. I don't know. That's why I'm like, that assisted arranged marriage thing, there might be something there, kids. I'm just saying. Cool, so yeah, the role of technology. Shifting views. Younger generations may embrace a hybrid approach, seeking family approval before retaining personal autonomy. And this is talking about the 21st century, guys. Come on. Intercultural marriage. Arranged marriages are now happening across cultures and borders, reflecting more globalized views. Okay. I mean, I read this, but I didn't realize. I wouldn't mind reading more about that. That is actually quite interesting. Like, how? Are people arranging marriages between people from different countries? Like, how'd that work? But I guess that's probably why matchmakers are a thing now. Because they don't care. They're just like, look, this person's cool. You're cool. You're both looking for the same thing. So technically, it's assisted arranged marriage. Yeah, so I guess that works out. Guys, you can't talk me off this ledge, huh? You can't talk me off this ledge. Sorry. My views. I'm biased. We know I'm biased. This is why I'm doing the episode. We know I'm biased. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I mean, in summary of everything I've read and everything I've learned through going through this process, I've realized that the trope and the entertainment value of it all is obviously beautiful. As a person who's a hopeless romantic, I obviously watch all of this play out in a lot of romantic contexts, and in TV and media, it's always like it's all fluffy and lovely and everybody ends up so happy and falling in love. But there are many situations where it doesn't work out that way. I don't know. A part of me still thinks it's a great idea, but maybe it's because I haven't seen it for myself. Maybe I need to meet someone who's been in an arranged marriage and actually, like, you know, have a chat and really hear what it's like. I feel like maybe I actually have met someone who's in an arranged marriage, now that I think about it. I feel like I have, and I just didn't notice. Because that's my thing. It's like, you know, maybe I should just ask more. I don't know. Would that be weird to just ask somebody, huh? Did you guys like dates? Or did it just like come together? Like, how did this happen? You know, because a lot of people do take pride in their love story. You know? Like, that's part of the thing. So I ask myself, I don't know. I should ask around. Anyway. So, yeah, guys. I mean, there are pros and cons to everything. There are different sides, there are different views. Like I said, I have just always been fascinated by the idea of probably more assisted marriages. Actually, no, fully arranged to assisted marriages, because I've always been interested in like what makes marriage work and all of that stuff. And I've just also, like I said, from my own personal experience, observed that there are things that come up that could have been discussed, but then I also can't judge people for not having those conversations, because as I said, the love bubble is kind of what gets you to the altar in the first place. But then you ask yourself, at what point does the love bubble have to pop and reality need to arrive? But then does that kill the romance of the relationship? You know, like, it's like a never-ending spiral you can just keep digging deeper and deeper into. I genuinely just feel like, you know what, at the end of the day, you choose what is right for you. And I've found, from what I've gathered in the media I have consumed, especially from the documentaries perspective and stuff like that, is I found that in the situations where arranged marriage was, I guess, that I've watched that was successful, if you want to call it that, air quotes, it has been that this person walked in knowing exactly what to expect, with, you know, a full kind of idea of what would happen, a lot of the time being that their parents or their grandparents were arranged and were assisted or whatever, and they believe in the practice of it and the purpose and the necessity of it. So yeah, you know, that's why I'm just like, is there something there, guys? Is there something there? Because clearly even reality TV is saying, guys, maybe. Question mark. Maybe. So yeah, friends, that was my very first audio essay. Oh, aren't we so proud of me? Aren't we so proud of me? I actually did the thing I was gonna do. Yes, girls and boys. Eh? Focus. Focus. Anyway, yeah, so I mean, in this cultural landscape and in the space that we're in where people are struggling, you know, me included, I'm also in the fight every day. A soldier that must put on a full armor of God before trying to meet someone's son type energy. I ask myself if we maybe need to roll back to much simpler times. And I don't even know if it's actually as simple as we would think, because involving family, that's involving minds, personalities, opinions, So I ask myself, if is that maybe something that I'm not considering, is the fact that, like, yeah, but that's a whole bunch of people who are now involved. But technically, those people are going to be involved anyway, because, you know, you're marrying into the family, you know, from both sides. Because marriage, I don't personally feel, I don't think marriage can succeed without community. And I'm not necessarily me. No, actually, no, I mean family. I genuinely believe that family is also an important and integral part of making a marriage work, especially marriage. I don't necessarily think relationship. I think marriage, because at that point you are building a new family unit, and that family unit, if it does produce offspring, look at me talking as if it's all scientific, but anyway, if it does produce offspring, will eventually become a family unit that needs to meet another family. You see what I'm saying? So I'm like, at the end of the day, having these chats and these conversations and having people who are on your team from the get-go, helping choose the person who's going to walk into their space, it might be easier for the Makoti. I don't know. It might be easier for the husband-to-be. The Mhonyan. I don't know. I just feel there's something to look at there. I feel like we're not looking that sight, you know, just because of the fact that we've all told ourselves that it's so old school. Who does that? Are we in the medieval age? You know, but I actually feel there might be something there, and it might be a very good way to explore how we can kind of work around the current problem we have in the world, which is just pandemic of loneliness, people struggling to date, get into relationships. I mean, the world is just every which way. You are hearing about countries that have birth rate problems and stuff like that, where people are not getting into, I guess, traditional family, like, I guess, values, you know, like wanting marriage and kids. Like, people are freestyling, which is fine. People have autonomy and they're allowed. It's just, at the end of the day, you know, for those who do want the romance, love, the marriage, the kids, and are struggling because they're in the same dating pool as the people who don't, and even worse, the people who aren't sure but are willing to take you on a ride to figure it out. You know, maybe it would just kind of help just separate out the group that's like, look, I'm serious and I'm willing to fight for this thing that I really want and I want for my life. And, you know, I don't know if it maybe just might be a really cool way to help everybody, you know. Go to their corners. You know? I don't know. Anyway, that being said, thank you for listening to me waffle about this topic that, like I said, fascinates me. And it's interesting to me. And I want to talk about it. So, guys, this has been an episode of A Potential Podcast with Tracy Lee. I pray this podcast and I live up to our potential. Okay, bye.